wasn't an invitation for us to join the kids in the air conditioning.
Soon.
Soon. Adam's message to the children is reflected in the story from Exodus that I'm about to share. From Exodus 23, verses 10 to 13. 6 years you shall sow your land and gather its yield, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow so that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the wild animals may eat. You shall do the same with your vineyard and with your olive orchard. 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest so that your ox and your donkey may have relief and your home-born slave and the resident alien may be refreshed. Be attentive to all that I have said to you. As a newcomer to this congregation, I wanted to let you know how much I appreciate the inclusion of what is called the witness of modern wisdom. I think it's a wonderful balance so that we can see that what the ancient wisdom was trying to teach us, we're still trying to learn. This comes from the wonderful poet Wendell Berry. The mind that comes to rest is tended in ways that it cannot intend, is born, preserved, and comprehended by what it cannot comprehend. God is still speaking.
And we are still listening.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Paul. In the 1930s, a writer named Lewis Bromfield returned home to Ohio after years abroad, and he bought a plot of land in the rolling hills of Pleasant Valley near my hometown, land that had once been fertile but was now nearly ruined from overuse and decay, and decades of overfarming and erosion had stripped the soil of its richness. Nothing seemed to thrive there anymore like it should. But instead of giving up, Bromfield began a great experiment. He had a lot of ideas about agriculture and how it might be improved. Now, what became Malabar Farm, he planted cover crops and he rotated crops. And most radical of all, he let portions of the land just lie fallow. At first, neighbors thought he was a little foolish with all these new ideas. Land should be planted every year, they said. Idle land was wasted land. But Bromfield believed that soil, like the human spirit, needs rest to be renewed. And he was right. Slowly, the fields of Malabar came back to life. And the soil grew rich again. And the harvest became abundant. And that farm became a model for soil health and conservation across the county, the state, and the country. Bromfield's story is really the same story that we hear in Exodus chapter 23. For 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its yield, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow. God's wisdom in Scripture and the wisdom of the earth agree. There is no life without rest. Now, the Sabbath year is one of the most radical ideas that we find in our Scriptures. It doesn't feel radical to us today because it's become so enculturated. But the idea that every 7 days you might rest, every 7 years you might let the land rest, was truly something new. By letting the land rest every year, whatever grows on its own is left to the poor and to the wild animals. In other words, rest is not just for humans, but it's for creation, for the creatures who don't have a voice. This commandment echoes the story of Israel's liberation from bondage in Egypt. In Pharaoh's economy, there was never enough. Pharaoh demanded endless production, more bricks, more bricks. Pharaoh's system treated people like machines, but in God's new creation, there is a rhythm of enough. There is work, yes, but there is also rest by design. The great and now late theologian Walter Brueggemann writes of this plainly in his book, Sabbath as Resistance, that keeping Sabbath is an act of saying no to the Pharaoh. It's refusing the lie that our values come from constant productivity. Sabbath is God's way of saying, you are not slaves anymore. You are free, and free people rest. To my mind, the wisdom of Exodus 23 and the wisdom of Malabar Farm are the same. Soil cannot bear crops forever without pause. If it is never allowed to rest, it loses its fertility, becomes thin and exhausted and lifeless. But when soil is allowed to lie fallow, when it is covered with clover or alfalfa or simply left alone, it begins to heal, and microbes return, and nutrients are replenished, and organic matter begins to build back up again, enriching the structure of the very soil. And what looks like emptiness on the surface is actually restoration taking root deep underground. We've been exploring this theme of gardens of gratitude and hope over this whole summer, talking about deep roots and fruit of the Spirit, talking about the gospel according to compost. And today, we talk about what it means to trust in the fallow times. Our souls, like soil, become depleted when we never rest. We keep producing, yes, but the quality diminishes over time. Our joy erodes, our creativity dries up. But when we rest, when we let our souls lie fallow, the Spirit restores us. The Spirit enriches us in hidden ways. Even the things we thought were waste, like compost, are transformed into nourishment for what comes next. But of course, rest doesn't always feel easy or comfortable either. To stop working in a culture that glorifies busyness can feel irresponsible, even dangerous. I've spoken about her before, but this is why Tricia Hershey of the Knapp Ministry calls rest an act of resistance. It's worth talking about again, especially as we make this pivot from summer into fall. She writes, rest is resistance. Rest is saying no to a system that says our worth is tied up in how much we produce. Rest pushes back against the pharaohs of our age, the endless demands of consumerism and capitalism and hustle culture. And rest is more than just resistance. Rest is also trust. Do you remember that story of manna in the wilderness? How there was an extra measure for that last day before the Sabbath, but they had to trust that it would be enough and not collect it for a day. They had to trust that they would be all right. To rest is to trust that God is still at work even when I am not. It's to trust that the world doesn't rest on my shoulders. It's to trust that my value does not come from endless labor, but simply from being a beloved child of God and a spiritual sibling to all creation. I was thinking about how our lives might reflect different fallow seasons, the different forms that might take. And I realized it's not always easy. A field lying bare looks unproductive, looks wasted. In our lives, fallow seasons can look like seasons of waiting between one thing and another, or seasons of grief. It can be seasons of transition, or seasons of silence and stillness. Sometimes the fallow time finds us, and it's not our choice to rest. Oh, I hurt my knee, and now I'm laid up in bed for the next 6 weeks. It doesn't always feel good when we get that time thrust upon us. A job loss or a health change, a long loneliness. In those times, it can be hard to trust that something good will come out of that season. But the witness of Scripture reminds us that fallow time is not wasted time. It is sacred time. And in the hidden places, in the quiet soil of our souls, renewal is taking place. Yes, even Jesus embraced the time to rest, to go silent, to pray. He withdrew to recenter and renew. And of course, after the cross came that great silence of the tomb. Talk about a fallow time of all fallow times. To the rest of the world, it looked like nothing was happening. But in that holy stillness, God was preparing resurrection. This is, I believe, one reason why gratitude matters. Why we've been talking about this for 5 or 6 weeks now. Cultivating gratitude is what keeps us open during those fallow times. Gratitude says, even if I can't see any growth yet, I trust and give thanks that God is working beneath the surface, whether I can see it or not. Gratitude turns our waiting into hope. And because hope, like a seed, is planted in the dark, it begins unseen, deep in the soil. And gratitude waters it until one day, in God's timing, it breaks through into the light. So when your life feels quiet or unproductive, or it feels like some fallow season, today I invite you to remember the soil, to remember the lessons of Malabar Farm and Exodus 23 and Sabbath rest, and trust that Spirit is working in ways that you and I may not be able to see. Nevertheless, the work of renewal is already begun. Friends, we cannot live without rest. Rest is not laziness. It is not wasted. It is the very soil of renewal. So Pharaoh says, produce without ceasing. God says, rest. Pharaoh says, your value is in what you make. God says, your value is in who you are. Pharaoh says, there is never enough. And God says, there is an abundance. And it includes rest. So let us be people who trust the fallow times. Let us practice gratitude in seasons of stillness. And let us discover hope in God's hidden work in our lives. Then may our lives, like a well-tended garden, grow rich with the gifts of rest, gratitude, and hope. Amen.